More than real money, credit seems to make the world go round. And in this country, every time you pay a credit card bill or your mortgage or almost any other kind of bill, someone somewhere is keeping track. Were you on time with your payment? Did you pay everything that you owe or just a portion of it? How little? How you manage your credit is of enormous interest to a great number of people who are making decisions about what you can buy and apparently much more besides. Today on Please Explain, we are going to talk about credit reports and credit scores. And joining us is Jeff Bleiskel, a senior editor at Consumer Reports. He's written about consumer and business subjects for 30 years for a wide variety of publications, including Forbes, The New York Times, Bloomberg Personal Worth, Washington Journalism Review, and Good Housekeeping. He's the author of The Consumer Reports Money Book. And I'm sure that a lot of you have a lot of questions as well, so we invite listener calls at 212-433-9692, or you can leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. Jeff, I know this is going to sound a bit obvious, but is there a basic definition of credit as it applies to this topic?
Yeah, I would say basically, whenever somebody lends you money or services, that's credit. So if I lend you $100, so it's easy to think about it person to person. I lend you $100, that's credit. But a corporation lends you $10,000 or $100,000, that's also credit. So is when Con Edison, gives you electricity for a month and bills you afterwards. So they're extending credit as well. So it comes in a number of different forms.
And there's a big difference. If I lend you something and you don't pay it right back, it doesn't affect your credit rating. But if I don't pay the $13 National Grid bill on time, it will.
Well, it all depends. And eventually, some things are not reported. Certainly, if you don't pay me back, I'm not going to report it to a credit bureau. But if a company does, lends you money, it will be reported. So in most cases.
Well, credit has been around as part of economies from the earliest civilizations. Didn't ancient city-states like Babylon, Samaria, and Judea, the rulers of those states find it necessary to cancel all consumer debt from time to time?
I'm not that familiar with that, but yeah, I know you're right that it dates back as long as people have been doing business, basically, because it's part of capitalism, part of business, whereby you have to, I give you goods, and you don't always necessarily have the money until you sell it. So a lot of stuff is bought on credit that way.
Well, in the ancient world, we even have something in Matthew where Jesus describes a situation where the king forgives his servant an enormous debt. The feeling was that the peasants could become permanent debt peons, and thus society would be torn apart. We don't worry about those things today.
Well, I think we do worry. We do worry about them. A lot of people are worrying about them, and I think that's one of the things you mentioned about, why it's so confusing. It's maybe intimidating, the whole business of credit and credit scoring, because we can, it's related to our reputation, how we repay things and whether we're trustworthy or not, with $100 or $1,000. And so it's important and it's mysterious, but there's logic to it all.
I'd imagine that credit was first just extended by banks. When did it expand to other things like credit cards?
Well, that was in the after the war. So pretty much 50s, late 40s, 1950s, and 1960s it really took off with Bank AmeriCard in 1966 and what was then called Interbank Card Association, which became MasterCard also in 1966. And that's when, the post-war era, the economy was expanding. Companies wanted to move goods and sell goods, refrigerators, washing machines, cars, houses, to lots of people. And so everybody didn't always have the money right up front. So credit was a way to make the sale, basically, because I don't have the $100 for the refrigerator back then. So if I buy it on installment or on time payments, as they used to be called, you know, I can make the company can make the sale, and I can get my conveniences of living.
So how soon after that did keeping track of credit behavior begin with the creation of credit scores and the issuance of credit reports?
It started really, I think, not long after that. So the 1970s and the 1980s really is when Credit Bureau, the first FICO score based on Credit Bureau, information, credit report information came about. So I would say the 1970s, 1980s really kicked it off.
And now there are three major companies that keep credit information?
Yeah, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. So those are the big three.
Now, we've all seen ads on TV that offer to provide us with our credit ratings and credit scores. Are those advertisers the same big three?
Generally, or there's some of them are subsidiaries of the credit bureaus. So they're like consumer marketing subsidiaries. So freecreditreport.com. And, you know, the thing about those that consumers need to be aware about is that a lot of times they purport to be selling you a credit report or a credit score. They're really selling, but they sign you up for credit monitoring services, which is a monthly subscription thing, can cost anywhere from $10 to $20 to $30 a month. And that is to supposedly monitor your credit report to protect you against identity theft, which is a new thing that has kind of evolved out of credit scoring and credit reporting and such.
Well, I've read that there can be a big difference between the scores that lenders get and the ones that consumers are given when they ask to see their scores. Is that true?
Yeah. When we looked at this a couple of years ago and found a difference of 72 points. So there are, I have to give you a little background, there are a number of different kinds of companies that sell scores. And I won't go into two markets. I know I think you have some questions on that. But basically, you can buy a FICO score or what used to be known as Fair Isaac. There's a score from Experian called Vantage Score. TransUnion is selling scores as well. There are Plus scores, they're called. There's all these brands of scores, and we bought about I think we bought about 11 different scores for one person and got a 72-point difference in the scoring there. So, yeah, definitely there are differences between scores.
And since I'm borrowing from the same places, I would assume that my scores would be the same. Either I pay my bills or I don't pay my bills. I owe money, I don't owe money. Do different companies tend to go to look at different scores? For example, if I'm trying to buy a car, would the car company go to a different credit bureau than the bank might if I were trying to take out a home equity loan?
Yeah, in a couple of different ways. One is, so let's take a car loan. They will probably, they probably have a contract with one of the credit bureaus to get their scores from them. They don't need to get them from all three credit bureaus. And that could cause a problem for you or cause you to either get or not get the loan because the credit score from TransUnion is based on your TransUnion credit report, which is actually the file that has all the information about whether you paid your Visa card and, you know, if you owe your doctor, $500 that you didn't pay him and such. And so that TransUnion doesn't have necessarily every bit of information about you, and Experian may have a couple of extra accounts on file about you that TransUnion doesn't have. So that would affect your score that way. If you're getting a mortgage, the mortgage company will probably get all three credit scores, and then they tend to average them across so that they can kind of get as complete a picture as possible.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, a listener, Rudresh in Brooklyn, along these lines, asks on our show page, who uses Vantage and who uses FICO? Does it matter? I never heard anybody talk about the Vantage score.
Well, Vantage score is FICO is a company called, it used to be called Fair Isaac. Now they're called FICO. So that's
why Fair Isaac, do we know?
I don't know. It's not F-A-I-R. It's Fair Isaac. I don't know how their name came out. But that was their name originally back in the 50s when they first formed. So that has become, or is known as the standard credit score used by companies, but by lenders. The Vantage Score is something that's a recent creation in the last several years that the credit bureaus themselves have created to kind of ostensibly, what they say is it's to have one score rather than three different scores from the three different credit bureaus. And so it's an attempt to put together one score that people could buy. I think FICO is still the major score. FICO is independent of the credit bureaus. So I think FICO is still the standard score. But there's a catch to this. The score that you buy from MyFICO or from your credit bureau, which is called the FICO score, is not necessarily the score that your lender will use. They use proprietary scores, which are based on their particular interests, their particular books of business, you know, their particular experience in the auto lending business or the mortgage. So there are all these different kinds of proprietary scores. So when you go and you buy your FICO score, you're not really buying the score that will actually be used, you know, in the credit decision on your particular, you know, auto loan or mortgage.
Well, the score gives an instantaneous picture, but then there are credit reports. So do they, if I want to take out an auto loan, is the auto company likely to look at my credit report as well?
Probably not, because the credit report is the raw information about, you know, what you've done with all your accounts for a particular period of time, going back several years, month by month. The credit score is essentially a distillation. People don't have time to sit down. Everybody wants to move fast, fast, fast now, right? They want to make the loan and get to the next guy and make the next loan. This is why we have credit bubbles. But, you know, so they don't have time to look at your credit report and go over it with a fine-tooth comb. So the credit score is a simple and efficient way to distill that into a number that says, this guy's a good credit risk, this guy's not a good credit risk.
So since we're talking about a number of different credit rating bureaus, when I buy something on credit, or I'm using my Visa card, my American Express, whatever, is it going to all of the different bureaus?
Something like that. Let's say you have a Target card or a Sears card or something. It'll probably be reported to all of the credit bureaus. Yeah, like that. Other things may not be reported to all of them. Smaller companies, some companies just don't report. Some smaller auto lending companies don't necessarily do that.
And then it's gathered, it's kept and protected. Mm-hmm. Stored in computers, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
When some company asks about my credit score, they go to FICO, for example, and FICO just types up my name and gives them 75?
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll give them the company will have a contract probably with them, so they know each other. Mm-hmm. If anybody who has a business relationship can get your credit score. So I'm your next door neighbor. I can't generally get your credit score unless I'm renting my garage to you, for example. Then we have a business relationship, I would be able to get the credit score in that case. But generally, anyone with a business relationship with you who's lending, and especially those lending you money, can get access to your credit score and credit report. And you give them that right when you sign your loan agreement or your application.
Even though it really is an invasion of my privacy.
Well, is it an invasion of your privacy? It's not if you allow it.
Yeah,
you
well,
allow it because you want the credit.
Now, if you want a free app for your phone, you wind up giving them all sorts of private information as well. And you wonder, why did they want to know my mother's maiden name and where I met my wife and all of those other questions that they ask? we are in a situation where People know an awful lot about us, don't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And one way to protect yourself is to kind of limit that as much as possible. You know, to protect your privacy and to protect yourself from identity theft is not to give away your, you know, your mother's maiden name frivolously. If you're getting a mortgage, you may have to do that. If you're, you know, applying to the Boy Scouts, I think I applied to the Boys. My son is in the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts before that. And so I had to be, you know, fill out an application for the, the adult leader or an assistant leader, whatever. And, you know, I didn't want to give my Social Security number on that. So those things, where does that piece of paper that I give, you know, one of my neighbors wind up? I don't know. It's in some file drawer that somebody could rob, you know, for all we know.
Now, what would be considered a good credit rating?
Generally, if you're in the 700, the credit scores, the FICO credit scores range from 350 to 800. So if
sounds like
the
SATs.
Yeah, 300 to 850. Right, exactly. And well, these are the adult SATs, basically. If you get a good score, you're a good boy. So in the high end of that, 800 is great. 700 to 800 is fine. 600s, you're starting to get into the gray area. Below that is subprime. So, so that it's basically the better your score, the better your credit history is.
My guest is Jeff Blaskell, a senior editor at Consumer Reports. We're talking about credit ratings and credit reports on today's Please Explain. And we invite your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. We're getting calls and questions on our show page, so let me take care of a few of those before I continue asking my own questions. John from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Leonard. I have a question regarding home ownership. I recently got a credit report of my own, and I noticed that one of the negative factors was that I didn't own a home. And I'm just curious to know if that's a legal thing to be done by these credit reporting agencies. I'll hang up now.
Okay. He's trying to buy a home, and he's being penalized for not owning a home.
Yeah, you're not penalized. The credit bureaus will keep track of whatever information they have. They say they don't make a judgment on you, that the lender makes a judgment on you. So that is probably from the lender's decision that, you don't own a home, so you're not as good a credit risk. And I believe it is legal.
Now, we are getting a lot of questions about credit cards. Jim from Bed-Stuy wants to know if using a second credit card will increase his credit score. And a second listener, Nick, asks, how bad is it to cancel a credit card?
If you close a credit card account, which you might do after they hike the rate, or if you're switching to a lower rate card, mm-hmm. it can hurt somewhat, because if you had a large credit line and a low balance, basically that takes away the high credit line basically shows your credit capacity or your ability to handle credit, and if you had a low credit line, a low balance on that credit account, that would basically be very positive for your credit score, because you've got, you have the credit availability, but you're not using it. So, so if you canceled that card, it would reduce, you're no longer getting credit for the good part of that. That's one reason not necessarily to cancel a long-standing credit card, which shows that you had a long history since 1960 or 1970.
So just let it sit fallow because you don't like that one anymore. They're charging too much, or you haven't gotten good service from them.
I wouldn't use it. So you keep it open. But you don't necessarily have to use it. And I, what was the other question?
Well, the other one was whether having a second credit card is a good idea. And I guess that kind of answers the first question. You answered that with the other answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could basically what's going to be the final decision is how much credit can you handle? How much? So it doesn't matter. I mean, you probably shouldn't have too many credit cards, too many Visa cards, you know, five different Visa cards or whatever, because number one, you got to keep track of all those. But number two, you know, you're dividing up. You're kind of adding to your credit. Which it's not really a good idea to have too many credit cards. And some of the scoring models will penalize you for having too many credit cards, too.
If you pay off all of your bills and owe nothing, is that good or bad? Do they prefer for you to owe something?
The banks prefer that you keep a balance so that they can collect interest on you. So that's one way. That's one reason why they have minimum payments. If you have like even $5 on there, and also annual fees and such. So it is a good thing if you have credit cards with low balances. So that'll improve your score definitely.
Julia in Connecticut asks, how much does a late payment, just a few days late, hurt your credit score?
Well, a late payment is not going to show up, actually. You know, if it's only a couple of days late, it's not going to show up. What you will do is probably get a $30 or $40 penalty fee for being one day late, which is not pleasant. But that sort of thing is what will show, you know, won't show up on your credit report until it's 30 days late or 60 days late, you know, after a certain period. So a couple of days is not going to show up on your credit report.
Fiona left a comment. She said, so much for protecting my identity. I was fortunate enough to pay off my mortgage early and have been inundated with emails from credit rating organizations, companies offering to loan money, telling me my credit status has changed. We're talking about dozens of emails daily since the day I paid off my loan. Did the bank share my information, or do the credit bureaus see that I've paid and have me targeted?
Well, the credit bureaus, one of the ways they make money is by selling leads to people who are good people to lend money to, right? So,
I didn't sign on that.
No, but you can opt out of it, and you should opt out of it because, well, I'll explain that in a second. But so basically, the credit bureaus have your information. They've collected all this information. They try to sell it in various ways. One way is to when a car company says, we need to make more auto loans, we want to get more business or a bank, they will buy lists of people's names and addresses and such. They don't get the credit report, but they give the credit bureau information that says, we're looking for this such and such a person with a 700-plus credit score or 800 credit score. And those are so they generate then sale offers, unsolicited offers for credit. and now one thing about those, if you say, "Oh, great, I'll take the $10,000 loan," actually, it's not really they often call them a pre-approved credit offer, but they're not really approved. You have to. They'll then go look at your credit report, and they'll ask for other information about your income and stuff. And you might not actually get that loan, number one. But number two, those credit offers that come to your mailbox is a perfect, especially if they come to your mailbox in front of your house, and so anybody can actually reach in and take your mail. That's one way that identity thieves will steal. You know, will steal that information, and they'll get. They'll see, aha, here's a credit report. I'll apply for that, and then they'll do that if they have information about you and can fill it in sufficiently to, you know, to get the loan. And then you might not even know you have the loan, but somebody else does.
I'm curious about that pre-approved aspect. If we're not really pre-approved, isn't that false advertising?
I have always thought that over the years, but. I'm sure it conforms to all the fine print. I'm sure there's plenty of fine print in there that if you read the statement and look at the back of the offering letter, I'm sure there's lots of asterisks and tiny print that it says this is only a preliminary offer and we will still have to find it. So in that case, it wouldn't be according to the regulations.
My guess is Jeff Bleiskel, who's a senior editor at Consumer Reports and the author of the Consumer Reports Money Book. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. We're talking about credit reports and credit ratings on today's Please Explain. Stay with us for more. We are back with Jeff Bleiskel, who's a senior editor at Consumer Reports and also the author of Consumer Reports Money Book. We're talking about we're talking about credit ratings and credit reports. And we invite your calls to 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on a show page at WNYC.org. And Joel from Westchester, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. My original question was about paying off in full, but so I'll have to change that. I can't remember what I was going to say. These calls that I get for cleaning up your credit, you know, for paying them off, I think they're a big scam, and I you know, from time to time I press one and I get somebody on the phone and I say, please cut me, you know, please do not call anymore. Of course, they just hang up, so they don't even hear that. What do you have to say about the first part, about cleaning up your credit report with an outside group like that?
Yeah. Well, credit repair is an area that's ripe for fraud, basically. So, you can't. There are no tricks that you could use to fix your credit, to fix a bad credit report, basically. The best way to do it is to get your free credit. You can get a free credit report from each of the bureaus every year. And so what we recommend is you do that every 4 months. So you go to Experian 1 month, and then 4 months later you go to TransUnion, and then 4 months later you go to Equifax, and then start over again next year, 4 months later, and get your free credit report, look at it, and find out if there's any errors on it, and then go and dispute errors or incorrect information or whatever. If some identity thief has opened an account that you don't even know anything about, you can ask that. First of all, you would want to report that to the credit bureau and to the police, and you can get that blocked as well, that false information, which is not about you, not about your account. So that's the best way to fix your credit report or improve your credit score and credit report.
But
I would avoid.
We have heard of people who are surprised to discover that they're having problems getting credit because of an inaccurate report, perhaps not even a scam, but a confusion as to names and things of that sort. And they didn't know it, and they were just having problems for quite a while. How do you even find out about those things, and how do you correct them?
Well, go to there's a website. You know, you have the right. Federal regulation gives you the right. It's called annualcreditreport.com. It's all one word, annualcreditreport.com. And you can get a free report every year from each credit bureau. And the thinking behind it is because your credit report is so important, it should be accurate, and you should have a right to see your credit report for free, not have to pay, you know, $9 for the $15 to see that there's no mistakes on it. So that's one way to do it. And by the way, on the opting out, there is another website called optoutprescreen.com where you can go and opt out of these credit, you know, these pre-approved credit offers. Both of those websites are run by the credit bureaus, but they're kind of like public service things.
Let's go to Scott. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? My question is, I'm 22. I decided not to finish college, so I have a little bit of debt, but it's nothing more than $1,000 at this point. I didn't get too far into it. So basically, I'm trying to figure out, okay, in terms of the future, I pay rent, I have a job, you know, I buy food, I buy the normal things, and I don't have a credit card. I never have got one. I'm pretty scared to get one. I was trying to think of a way to build some credit, though, in terms of maybe moving up, and that, you know, any if I were to buy a house or get a nicer apartment, they sometimes like to think that you have good credit, as I found out. And I don't know how to build credit. As I tried to get a loan, they told me that I needed to have good credit or a co-applicant with good credit. And as I don't know anyone that's a good co-applicant, I basically don't have the credit to get a loan. And I can't get the loan because I don't have the credit, so I don't know where to begin.
Can I ask you a question? Why wouldn't you want to have a credit card? Do you feel you don't have enough self-discipline to not abuse it?
Yeah, I absolutely just like to stay cash because I mean, all of my friends have like $16,000, $20,000 worth of credit card debt separate to the college loans. I see where it goes for young people, but I try to stay cash. But and I would think that would look better in the eyes if I'm really trying to get a loan at a bank. I go and say, hey, you know, I pay cash for everything. I've had an apartment for a year. You know, I've paid $10,000 cash over the past year and never had a problem. But I'm saying, hey, you know, maybe there's a way I can get some credit for this, and I just don't really know how to go about that or to get my current expenses to benefit me.
Yeah, well, there's kind of the catch-22, the credit, which is that you to get credit, you need credit, credit for, you know, good credit. I wouldn't be afraid of credit. Credit, basically, if you have a credit card, the trick is just not to get too many credit cards. You know, one should be enough. You could probably get a credit card, you know, with a $1,000 limit on it or whatever. Fairly easily if you go to your bank. I assume you have you're working and you have an income and you have a bank and such. So if you go to that bank, you could probably do that. Another way to do it, if they won't do that, you can get a co-signer. So if you have a parent who would be willing to co-sign with you on that, that will help you establish credit. You can also get something called secured credit cards, which are credit cards where you deposit a certain amount of money, so that so this may make you feel good because basically your money's in there already. It's kind of prepaid, but it's a credit card, and basically that deposit is a kind of security in case you don't pay it back. And then you can get, you know, that you get credit for that. You'll get that'll be reported that you're paying that on time. You just pay it on time, of course.
Now that's kind of like an ATM card in a way, a debit card. Do you get when I use my debit card? Does that get reported?
No, your debit card is not credit. It's a deposit account, so it's not credit, and it wouldn't be reported unless you had a overdraft on your checking account. Overdraft checking.
Now, Stephanie has a question that is connected to this question. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. As I understand it, simply applying for a credit card can lower your credit, which seems so Kafkaesque and ridiculous to me, but the whole kind of credit world is. So what are your thoughts on that, Jeff?
That's not true, and that's one of the there's a lot of myths about credit. I mean, I guess it's because people are intimidated about it, fearful of credit, fearful of they see friends who are over their head. But no, applying for one loan is not going to reduce your credit score. If you're applying for loans all over town all of a sudden, that might reduce your credit score. However, the credit bureaus know that, and the scoring systems know that when you go for an auto loan, for example, you might be applying for auto loans at different dealers because you're shopping around, basically, or mortgages as well. So those the systems have like a 30-day, where you're dealing with mortgage. If several mortgage applications come in, they're going to know you're shopping around rather than trying to game the system and get, you know. So no, don't worry about that. If you have one application or even two or three for a credit card, that's not going to hurt your credit score.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Mark from Ocean Grove. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is a good segment, and I love the show. My question is, I applied to see my credit score. Now, I regularly get my credit reports, but I saw an offer where for 14-day free trial I could get it from Experian. And I got it, and it said I had a 696. But then, no, Equifax, I'm sorry, not Experian. Then when I went to apply for a loan, they told me that my credit score was like 628. How can there be such a vast difference? And people have explained it to me in research that I did that there's actually more than one score. But how can there be that drastic a difference? For 696 is good credit, 628 is not.
And what was the loan for that you went for?
For a car.
Okay. So basically what happens, as I mentioned earlier, the scores that you buy, that a consumer can buy, are not the real credit scores. So, frankly, we recommend that people be very careful when they're buying these scores and don't go overboard and buy, 20 different scores to find out what you're worth, because they're basically they have a dubious value, if you will.
I did it on a 14-day free trial, which I canceled, but I thought it was worth
okay.
doing
Make
that.
Sure you're on your... Make sure that it's canceled on your credit card, too.
Oh, it is. I was doubly sure that.
But so what happens is that the lenders, real lenders, use their own credit scores, which you can't buy, and they're proprietary. They're secret credit scores, and they're tailored to, for example, some things on your credit report. Well, they'll probably look at how you paid your past auto loans and such. And so they're tailored to auto lending. And again, different kinds of loans. So with an auto loan, it's different from a credit card. Credit card, they just, give you a credit line for $5,000 with no security. With the car loan, they have that car that they can repossess. The repo man can come and possess it if you don't pay your bill or you don't pay your loan back. So it's a different kind of loan. It's more secure. So the lenders will have their own proprietary scores that you wouldn't know. So that's the 628, basically. And that's what they use. And for whatever reason, they've, maybe you paid all your loans very well, but you fell behind on an auto loan a couple of years ago or something. Who knows? Or some other kind of behavior that shows up in your credit report that they think is significant.
If you're one of those people who has had a foreclosure on your house, does that mean automatically that you have a really bad credit rating?
A foreclosure is going to be a major negative on your credit report. That's going to be a problem. If you have a subprime adjustable rate mortgage on your credit report, which is the ones that kind of collapsed in the bubble, if you're paying it on time, it should have no effect on your loan. They will know that it's a subprime loan necessarily, so that shouldn't hurt your credit score. But in foreclosure, yeah, that's going to hurt you. Another interesting, you can get debt relief from a credit counselor, from legitimate credit counselors, and they'll make payment arrangements and maybe forgive some of the debt and stuff. And that's one way to get out of trouble if you're behind underwater in debt, or you're too much debt, basically. But that'll be a negative on your credit report as well. Even though it's a good thing that you're doing, it's a responsible thing you're doing, it's still a negative. And the good news I can give you is that that these things only last for, they're not there forever. So as time goes on and as you pay your bills on time, that will become less important as it recedes in time. It'll become less important, these negatives. That's what happens.
Now, Corin from Manhattan asks, can you sue credit agencies who provide the wrong information about you?
That I don't know. Can you sue credit agencies?
Because it can cause a lot of trouble in your life if somebody is sending out the wrong information about you.
Well, it could, but before you run to court, I would. You have protections, so you can dispute things that are not true. Mm-hmm. If they're telling something that's true about you, that's negative. There's nothing you can do about that. But if it's an identity thief it's a fraudulent account, basically, you can have that blocked. You can ask to have that blocked, and you obviously report it to the police, and there's a procedure for that. They should. Because you have these recourses,
I think you'd have a tough time in court, you know, winning that case.
Jeff, thank you so much for talking with us. We've been talking about credit reports and credit ratings on today's Please Explain segment with Jeff Bleiskill, senior editor at Consumer Reports and the author of the Consumer Reports Money Book.